Reading in the book of St. John, I'm not going to attempt to talk on what I had on my mind. Maybe another night I will. But just to drop a few thoughts here. I've read from this passage a number of times, but I just want to drop in a few thoughts tonight. In the book of St. John, the gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were not born, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It covers a lot. It said, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, I brought out here a number of nights. I pointed out how that God is a spirit, and that no man has seen God at any time. A lot of people would dispute with you over that. When you point out that no man has seen God at any time, people would dispute over that. But it is a true fact that the Bible teaches that no man has seen God at any time. Now they say that when Moses was up on the mountain that he saw God. But if that is true, then the scripture is broken. Because the Bible teaches that no man has seen him at any time. So it is evident that Moses saw the Lord. And here in the scriptures, it points out that Jesus was not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now, we can understand that he was not born of human desire. But it goes a little farther than that. It said that he was not born of blood. Right there is something that a lot of folks have never looked at. A lot of people have never read as far as it being quickened to them or never understood. And when they think about Jesus, they think of Jesus as one that came into this world that was born of blood just like you and I. Isn't that right? Are you paying any attention to me? And because we don't understand the things of God, then we don't come to the real translating power that God has placed in our reach. Paul, in receiving the revelation of Christ, he said, now is made known to the church. I like that, don't you? Now is made known to the church. Not before Paul came. Somebody would say, well, I believe that God was with Elijah. I believe God was with Moses. Then why make Paul a special person? Because Paul in his day saying that he had received a revelation, he said, for now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. And he said, which wisdom was not made known unto man in the past. Now that's kind of a big statement, isn't it? Somebody could say, Paul, you're vainly puffed up. Didn't you ever read about Solomon? Have you never heard about the wisdom of Solomon? Have you never known about the great mind of Solomon and the things that Solomon knew? But Paul said there's something that's made known to the church that wasn't made known to Solomon. Come on, folks. I said there's something the church knows that Solomon never did learn. You understand what I'm saying? So then a lot of times we don't understand. We just don't understand. But it is a truth fact that today you have access to something that the world has never known. You have access to something that Abraham didn't know. You have access to something that Moses did not know. And you have access to something today that can literally translate your body, not just your mind and your spirit, but translate your body or transfigure your body and cause you to bypass the enemy death, to triumph over death, over the grave, and take another route into glory. I tell you, that does something to me. And this Jesus, the Bible said that he was not born of blood. He was not born of blood. We say, well, he was flesh and blood, just like anybody else. But there's one thing about it. When he came up out of the grave, he said, fill of me a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Is that right? For he was not born of blood. Now, that's where a lot of people would stumble. They would say, well, Brother Pike, he was made in the likeness of mankind, and he was partakers of the sins of mankind. But that's where you're wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that he was partakers of the sins of mankind. He was made in the image of sin. He was shapen in iniquity as far as the image of sin. But the Bible said that he was without sin. He knew no sin. He was completely, Brother Lyman, he was completely without sin. He never sinned. The Bible said guile was not found in his mouth. But he was altogether without sin, without transgression before God. And he was not born of blood. Though he was partakers, in as much as the Bible says that the children was partakers of flesh and blood, it said that he was partakers of the same. Now, I tell you, it's so beautiful to understand what I'm saying. He was partakers of flesh and blood, just like you are. He was tempted in every way, just like you and I have been tempted. But in all of this, he was a great master and a great conqueror. Jesus was so mighty and so great, though he partook of flesh and though he partook of blood, yet he was not born of the blood. You understand what I'm saying? See, you and I was born of blood. Is that right? When it comes to the natural birth, we're born of blood. Is that right? Now, Jesus was partakers of that same blood. But he was not born of that blood. Oh, that's so wonderful. That's so beautiful. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And she conceived of the Holy Ghost. Not of the will of man, not of the desire of the human being, but the Bible said the divine inspiration of God. So then Jesus could not have been born to the flesh. He could not have been born to the will of man, nor could he have been born to blood, because the Holy Spirit has no blood. She conceived of the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Ghost, Jesus was born in the world. You understand what I'm saying? Partakers of blood, partakers of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. That makes me feel religious. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, born to the Spirit. Born to the Spirit. There God himself came down from heaven.
the great eternal God and said, this day have I begotten myself a son. You see it? This day God said, I've given birth to a son. This day. In other words, it's my seed, God said. My seed. Not a man's seed. Not the seed of corruption. But he said, this day, I, God, the eternal spirit. Never before have I ever done it. Never again. But he said, this day, I, God, have begotten myself a son through the womb of a virgin. Do you understand what I'm saying? How beautiful, what a wonderful thing. God, the eternal spirit, and the Son of God being born. Coming down because Mary had a bloodstream. Coming down into a human being. God, the great spirit, coming down into the realms of blood, into the realms of human anatomy, to be partakers of the very life and the ways of Adam. Adam did not come like that. Adam never was born like that. Adam was created. But Adam was created out of the dust. I had somebody the other day said, now, Brother Pike, you said something about Adam being the Son of God, and you said Jesus was the Son of God. And they were kind of mixed up. They didn't understand. So what are you talking about? If both of them was the Son of God, Jesus was the second man, Adam. But see, folks, Adam was not born to the Spirit. There is no record that says Adam was born to the Spirit. The Bible said God created Adam from the dust and then breathed the breath of life into him. Is that right? So then Adam was not born to the Spirit. And I made the statement, just like the message I preached here one night concerning this right here, the covering of his glory. Adam never was born to the Spirit. Adam never did have eternal life. Adam was made out of the dust. And God did not give him eternal life. But he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and then set his course. And then let him fall down into the state and the realms of the beast. And more or less said to Adam, said, Adam, you and your descendants, you exist only by a breath of life. And unless you can in your lifetime come in contact with this great eternal power, then you will die like a man. Is that right? So then, ever since that time, things has been happening. Even the tragedy that has occurred concerning Brother Ron's dad, I see so beautifully and so clearly what God has done in the death of his dad and why that it happened the way it did and what it has to do with God and the great revelational move of the eternal God. What a wonderful thing. The mind of God, for now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Jesus was not born of the flesh. Adam was made out of the dust. And when Adam sinned, God looked at Adam and said, from the dust thou hast come, and to the dust thou shalt return. But when he turned to the Son of God, he didn't say that at all. Thy kingdom, O God, he said, is established forever, and thy kingdom shall be without end. For this day have I begotten myself a son. I like that. You know, Paul one time said, though you have 10,000 instructors, yet have ye one father in the gospel. He said, I have begotten you by the gospel, by the word of God. Here Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as believed in him or received him, to them gave he power. Gave them the power of faith. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. To as many as believed. Tonight you can have the power to become the Son of God. You say, Brother Pike, how can I become a son of God? If I'm born to that, if I'm made out of the dust, and I'm born of blood, how could I ever become a son of God? Because he said, to as many as believed, the power is to believe, to have the faith of Christ in your heart tonight. If thou canst believe, Enoch walked with God 300 years, And he believed in God. And because he believed in God, then God translated him from the stages of the beast and of a common man and turned him into a living God and made him a son of God. This day have I begotten myself a son, God said. For he was not born to flesh and blood. He was not begotten of blood, though the first birth is blood. And the life of all human beings is of the blood. The Bible teaches that. All human beings is born to blood. But he was not born to blood. He was born to the Spirit. Born to the Spirit. That's why that he had power. He stood in the face of Satan. And when death closed in on him, he said, no man taketh my life. I lay down my life. I have power to lay down my life and to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, hallelujah. My. To think tonight that we're sons of God, that no man can take our life. The Bible teaches that at death no man has power over the spirit to retain it. But when you are a son of God, no man can take your life. You have the power to lay your life down. You have the power to take your life back up. Because you're not born of the will of man. You're not born of flesh and blood. But you're born of the Spirit. How many of you are born of the Spirit tonight? Let me see a hand. Glory to God, I've been born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I came into this world as the first man, Adam. But now I'm the second man, Adam. Hallelujah. I'm born of the Spirit. And the first fruits of them that slept came up out of the grave. Hallelujah. And the saints of God rose from the dust and walked through the cities and they saw them. And knew that God had conquered death. For death could not hold him. Death could not hold the saints anymore. And folks, tonight, death can't hold you. Death hath no power over you tonight. Sickness hath no power over you. Poverty hath no power over you tonight. You're free from death. You're free from sin. You're free from the evils of this world. Tonight, we have the power to lay down our life. We have the power to take up our life. What a beautiful thing. Adam was in the presence of that great Shekinah God. That great light, like in the picture when I was baptizing, the great light came down. The great light, John witnessed when he walked in this world. He said, I'm not that light. But he said, I bear witness of that light. And he said, this is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. In other words, he said, this is the Spirit of life. And every man that comes in the world is the thing that opens his eyes to life. This light, he said, I came to bear witness of that light. And the Bible said, in the evening time it shall come to pass that there shall be light. They sang the song, the path to glory we shall surely find. In the evening time, when there's light. In the evening time. Why the evening time? Because in the morning, it was before the light. Because he reckoned time from evening until the morning. Is that right? So then, in the evening time, at the fading of the light, there was no light. And in this world, there isn't any light in the evening time. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? In the evening time, there isn't any light. But God reckons from evening till morning. You follow me? There isn't any light when the light goes out of this world. But just as the worldly light goes out, God's light comes in from evening till morning. The worldly light is from morning till evening. But God's is from evening till morning. When the night comes in, God comes up. Hallelujah. From the evening time, and there shall be light in the evening time. And the path to glory we shall surely find. Hallelujah. John said, this light that came into the world, how brilliant, how bright to think that that light created a human body. And that light filled that human body. And that human being walked in this earth and walked among mankind. And there he was, the great eternal God, shapen in the form of iniquity, shapen like a man, walking in the form of a human being. God coming down from heaven, and God making himself a human being, and God being made flesh and walking through the world in the evening time of life. There shall be light in the evening time. Why? Because God came in the evening time. It wasn't in the morning when God came. He came in the evening time. The Bible said in the garden that he walked through the garden in the evening time, shaping iniquity, like it into a human being. But he walked in the evening time. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? And he walked through the garden and he said, Adam, where art thou? Oh, Adam, where art thou? And he walked through the garden in the evening time. Came looking for his own. And the lamb was offered up in the evening time. And Solomon said, I bear record that that which is last is better than the first. I bear record, he said, by the wisdom that he had, that that which comes last is going to be better than the first. I believe the best wine God saved for last. Hallelujah. So then he wasn't born to blood, but he was born to the Spirit. This is why, brethren, that he could live an overcoming life when others could not live the overcoming life. When Elijah and Moses and the others, though they tried to do the great things of God, yet they were not found without fault before the throne. But this man Jesus, when they brought him before the throne there to judge him, they said, we find no fault in this just man. There is no fault in him. He was born to the Spirit, and though he was shapen in iniquity, yet he was not born to the blood, but he was born to the Spirit, and he walked in the Spirit. He never left the Spirit. He said to Nicodemus, I've been to heaven. I'm from heaven. I'm still in heaven. I'm still in heaven, Nicodemus. I'm born to the Spirit. I've never left it. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I've never left the Spirit. I came from the Spirit. They said, Jesus said, where are you going? He said, I'm going back to where I came from. Somebody said, now where is that? I'm going back to where I came from. He said, I came from God and I go back to God. I came from the Spirit. I go back to the Spirit. And he said, you can go too if you want to. And they said, but we don't know how to go. He said, Lord, we don't know the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No man cometh to the Spirit but by the Word. No man can get to the Father but by the Son. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. But just tell us the way. He said, you're always talking about God. Ever since you've been with us, Jesus, that's all you talked about is God the Father, God the Father. But we never seen him. You never did show him to us. Said you talked about him, you talked about him, you said he's so wonderful, and you praised him, and you talked about his magnificence, but you ain't never showed him to us. And Jesus looked at him and said, have I been with you all of this time, and you've never known it, never recognized it? And he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among you, and you beheld it in the shape of iniquity. It walked among you, and it talked among you, and God tabernacled among men. And have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. You know, it's no wonder the Bible said, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? In that you loved your brother, you love God. In that you did it to your brother, you did it to God. In that you've seen your brother, you've seen God. Why? Because you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're the Word made flesh in this world. You're God's image in this world according to the measure that you've been able to receive of God. You're God in this world. Now I know Jesus was the fullness of God. In him was the fullness of the God body. I know that. But how many of you know that we're that God body tonight? How do you know that? Paul said so. You're the body of Christ. Members in particular, isn't that right? What kind of body? Not born of man. Now look, that body wasn't born of man. It wasn't born of blood. That's where we make a mistake. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe that we're waiting for the redemption of our body. I don't believe that. I don't believe that, and I don't preach that. Somebody said, well, I believe that I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. Well, that's fine. If you want to wait for the redemption of your body, that's fine. But I don't preach that. I don't believe that. Somebody said, that's Bible. Well, it's not Bible according to what I understand. That might be in your Bible, but it's not in my Bible. I don't know what kind of Bible you got. I don't believe that. You say, well, what do you believe? I believe that we are waiting to wit the redemption of our body. Not waiting for the redemption of our body. I believe my body was redeemed at Calvary. I'm waiting for the revelation, the message, the understanding, to recognize, to wit, to accept the redemption of my body. Hallelujah. I am under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father. Hallelujah. When Jesus the Lord hang at Calvary and he said it is finished, it was finished. Every jot, every tittle, it was finished. Not waiting for the redemption, but waiting to wit the redemption. Hallelujah. To recognize. Somebody said, I'm waiting for my healing. No, my brother and sister. You're not waiting for your healing. If you're sick, you're not waiting for your healing. You're waiting to accept, to recognize that by his stripes you were healed. The day that you accept it and the day you recognize it, that's the day of your deliverance. If we're waiting that we should be translated, that we should not see death, then what are we waiting for? If old brother Enoch could look down through the years of time and see Calvary before God ever manifested his son upon a cross, and understand by the revelation of God through the foreknowledge that Christ had been slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world, and that he was free from death, and by faith in that understanding be translated, what should we be today? I know a lot of folks say, well, Brother Pike, Enoch has got to come back and die. But I told somebody the other night when I was preaching, Enoch doesn't have to come back and die. If Enoch comes back and die, then it will break the scriptures. But they say, but Brother Pike, it's appointed that a man wants to die. After that, the judgment. Every man has to taste death. But the Bible said Jesus tasted death for every man. Every man that'll believe. Is that right? Every man, if they would believe, but every man isn't going to believe. So only the believers will get the benefit of it. Now the Bible said God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. Is that right? God appointed them unto death. Thou shalt surely die. But then the word came and he said, he that heareth my words believeth on him that sent me is passed from death unto life and shall not come into condemnation. Is that right? So then you say, what are you trying to tell us? I'm trying to say that he looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners. He loosed them from the appointment of death. And he broke the appointment at Calvary. And the Bible said, heard us in a time, accepted and secured us. Is that right? Now, where does that put us? In other words, if Jesus finished it at Calvary, if Jesus done away with sin at Calvary, if Jesus destroyed him that hath power over death, which is Satan, at Calvary, then where does that put us tonight? It couldn't put us but one place. It couldn't put us but one place. If Paul said he that is baptized into Christ is put on Christ, if the Bible teaches that it is not us that live but Christ that liveth within us, if today it's not my body but God's body, then where am I tonight? I have to be in heaven. I have to be. Somebody would say, how could that be? Because I died at Calvary. And at death, the spirit of man goeth back to God who gave it. And the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. by the act of Calvary. I'm dead, buried, and tonight I'm in heaven. Tonight I pass from death unto life. Tonight I'm not waiting for the redemption of my body, for I was not born to blood. I said I was not born to blood. Somebody said, then what was you born of? I was born to the Spirit. I was born to the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Jesus walked in the Spirit. Paul walked in the Spirit. And he said, it's not me that's living, it's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm not born to blood. I'm born to the Spirit. How are you born to the Spirit? Born to the Spirit. Then what am I tonight? If I'm born to the Spirit, then what am I tonight? What am I tonight if I'm born to the Spirit? By the foreknowledge of the living God, I am his bone and flesh tonight. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, when you say flesh and bones, don't you know that means blood? Not the way that I understand it, it doesn't. This bone and flesh wasn't born to blood. How many of you know that? He said, fill of me, I'm bone, I'm flesh. But this wasn't born to blood. He said, you're my bone and you're my flesh. But it wasn't born to blood. The old Adam was born to flesh and blood. Or that is of blood and made flesh. But I was born to the Spirit. I was born to the Spirit. And now I'm flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. What kind of flesh and bone is that? That's flesh and bone the Spirit makes. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know that you haven't been redeemed? But I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, to Christ I now resign because I've been redeemed. I'm redeemed. Have you redeemed? I'm not waiting for my redemption. I've already been redeemed. I'm redeemed tonight. Then what are you waiting for? The Bible said we wait to wit the redemption. That is, we acknowledge the redemption. Now, what happens when we acknowledge it? We are suddenly changed from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible. Is that right? We are changed from this mortal into that immortal person of Jesus Christ. When are we changed? Whenever we believe. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm waiting for the day of my change. That's good. Job said, I'll wait for the day of my change. But old Brother Enoch done a little better. He said, I think I'll just go ahead and make the change. Is that right? Instead of waiting on, I think I'll just go ahead and use my faith in God and make the change. How many believe it's changing time? Amen. Hallelujah. So then, God is moving by Spirit. He has finished the work at Calvary. It's up to you and I to accept by faith what God has done. It's time that the church world quit waiting on God. It's time that the church world quit waiting. Just because some preacher says, you've got to wait, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that, and someday God will have mercy if we can just hold out. By chance, someday God might look down upon us and save us. It's time that we got away from that, that we be not carried about by every wind of doctrine and realize that Christ has finished it, that it's over, finished, gone. And tonight we are children of God, that we are in heaven, that we've been born again of the Spirit, and we've been redeemed by blood of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lamb of Calvary. That we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. And tonight, we don't have to wait for anything. Not anything. Not anything. We don't have to wait for healing. We don't have to wait for God's blessing. We don't have to wait for somebody to preach us a sermon. We don't have to wait till we get to a certain place or a certain day or a certain month or a certain year. Paul preached this great revelation back there, whatever God would let him preach. And then he looked over at the Jews and he kept on with their ritualistics. He said, folks, he said, I'm afraid of you. He said, you observe days and months and years. Somebody said, give me another week. Oh, give me another fast. Give me another day to pray. Give me another this and give me another that. And let me wait just a little bit longer. But folks, I don't want to wait for another fast. I don't want to wait for another prayer. I don't want to wait for another day. Somebody came to me today and said, they heard Brother Terrell over the radio and said, Brother David was preaching, how can you fast when the bridegroom's with you? How can you? But the day will come when the bridegroom be taken away from you, and then in those days ye shall fast. Is that right? In the coming days ye shall fast, because the bridegroom won't be with you. But how can you fast when the bridegroom is with you? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Old Brother Moses stopped at the Red Sea. He got down there and he stopped and he looked at the waters. And you know what? He was waiting for something. Waiting for something. Why was he waiting? God came up and said, Moses, what are you doing standing here? Said, Moses, go forth. Go forward, Moses. What are you doing standing still? The leopard sitting at the gate dying said, what are we doing here dying? Let's get up and do something. Reminds me of a lazy man. He'll sit there, you know, and Solomon said he'll put his hand in his bosom. He can't do nothing. There's a lion in the street. He'll say, honey, I can't get a job. I can't get a job. I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we're just going to starve to death. And the man over next door saying, honey, it's rough and hard, but I'm making it. We got a job, plenty to eat, everything going to be all right. That's just exactly the way you are. Because natural things are typical of spiritual things. That's what it's a type of. One man will sit down and spiritually starve to death and let his family starve to death, whoever God's put under his jurisdictional power. And the other man will get up by faith and do something for God and feed. The Bible says the diligent soul shall be made fat. Get up and do something about it. Have you understand what I'm saying? So then tonight we're born to the Spirit of God. Tonight we have the liberties of the sons of God. He hath called us not into bondage, but he hath called us into the liberty of the sons of God. And the Bible tells us that if we look into the perfect laws of liberty, into the mirror of God and continuing the perfect laws of liberty, said this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Whatever he does, God will bless him. Whatever he does, God will bless him and help him if he'll continue in the perfect laws of liberty. And this is the perfect law of liberty. God's liberated you. If you can hear the word and believe it, it's God's laws of liberty. It's not God's laws of bondage. It's God's laws of liberty. God's liberated you. Whatever God says here, that's freedom from bondage. If God says by stripes that you've been healed, that's a law of liberty. You're free from sickness. God has liberated you. Walk in that liberation. Don't go back to the carnal mind of the beast and the trouble and the sickness and poverty. Do like Jonah. He said it's a lying vanity. Everything that comes around that don't agree with them laws of liberty, that's a lying vanity. And rise up and go on. You understand what I'm saying? He that continueth in the laws of liberty. What kind of laws are those? He said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. That's a great liberation, my friend. I said, that liberates you from poverty. That liberates you from sickness. That liberates you from death. That liberates you from trouble. Said, let not your heart be troubled. That liberates you from everything that the devil could throw at you, because I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And just have faith and continue in the perfect laws of liberty. And that man shall be blessed in his deeds. How would you like to be blessed tonight? Would you like to be blessed tonight? All you got to do is walk in the word of liberty. Walk in the laws of liberty. Take your liberation. Christ has given it to you. You like that? I like that. Hallelujah. I tell you, you can do whatever you want to, but I'm going to stay in my law of liberty. If God says I'm free, I'm free. If God says I don't have to be in bondage, Paul said, why be in bondage again to the beggarly elements of the world? If I don't have to be in bondage, I'm not going to be in bondage. I'm free. I'm liberated. Jesus said it's finished. So tonight, I am at liberty. Paul said to do whatever I want to. He said, but I don't do all the things. He said, because some of them are not expedient. Some of them don't edify. He said, there is nothing. He said, there is nothing that held a bondage over him. He said, I'm free from it all. Meat for the belly and belly for the meat. He said, but I'm not going to come under the bondage of it. I'm free. Hallelujah. You want to stand with me?
A lot of things I'd like to have said tonight. Some things I had on my heart that could have really shown the liberation. But I want to preach a little bit from time to time to try to drill you in a spiritual way to where you can come to the place of not just hearing what I say, but hearing what the Spirit of God says to the church. And to where you won't just hear, but believe. Believe. The Bible said, looking into the law, into the mirror, seeing what manner of man you are, straightway going your way, and forgetting what manner of man you are. But if you continue in the laws, believe. Take your liberty. Don't worry. Don't doubt. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't always wonder. Don't always lean to your own understanding and try to figure it out. Say, Lord, you said it. Oh, God, you said it. I don't understand it. I don't know just exactly what you meant, Lord. Maybe it don't register to me like it does some other brother, but God, you said it. You said it over and over in your mind. Repeat it to yourself. Said, you said it. You said it, God. You said it. You said it. I believe it. You said it. I believe it. That's right. Folks need to practice believing. You know, you practice disbelieving, you practice unbelief, practice believing. Make it a practice. When you wake up in the morning and the dark, gloomy cloud of doubt begins to overshadow you, shake it out right there. Hallelujah. Start thinking on the laws of liberty and begin to believe. Start believing. You get weary in the evening and the oppressions of evil come down upon you and the nerves of the body begins to bring on fatigue. What should you do? Start believing. Amen. Don't listen to your feelings. Don't listen to your thoughts. Don't listen to your desires. Don't listen to your passions. Don't listen to your neighbor. Listen to God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Folks, if I went by my feelings, I'd never go again. I'd have quit a long time ago. I would have. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. I'd have quit a long time ago. It's like I told him tonight when we were out there in the dark. Brother Willie trying to drive a nail and couldn't even see the nail. Out there in three stories up in the air. The wind had been trying to knock us off. Walking around in tar. Went slap through my clothes like not got it off. I couldn't get none to take it off. I had to take my fingernails and scratch and scratch and scratch till I had red places on me where I had to scratch it off. I made the statement. I said, folks, I said, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for humanity. I said, and you can believe one thing. If I wasn't honest about it and sincere about it, I could think of a whole lot of things that I'd rather do than be out there walking around in that tar like a tar baby. Every time you step, you stick to the floor and slide. It was a gooey, gooey mess. But it has to be done, folks. Sometimes you might not be the dashing Prince Charming that you'd like to be. You might be stuck up like a tar baby. But you got to do it. It's got to be done. Somebody's got to do it. This top went on this building. Somebody had to do it. Tonight it's over. Tonight we're enjoying the benefits of it. And I say this, a lot of times in our frontier evangelism here and abroad, wherever we go, a lot of times I hear people, they say, well, the thing that bothers me is we do it and the rest don't help. And what bothers me is they come in and they enjoy it like we did or we do when they didn't do nothing. But see, there's a little something they overlook. And that little something is the parents lay up for the children. And God wants them to come on in. And God wants us to be joyful and let them come on in. Amen. Let them enjoy it. Because that's what we built it for. That's what we wanted. That's what God wanted. But folks, there's one other thing. The ones that took the cross was the ones that has the crown. See, they've got their joy. They've got their inheritance. That's our labor. They inherited our labor. The Bible said we've entered into other men's labors. But we've got the crown because we took the cross. You understand what I'm saying? See, we did it for God's children. That makes me feel good. And God looks down and says, hey, you've done this for my children, so I'll reward you the crown.
Don't that make you feel better? All right, let me see you out there tomorrow. That makes you feel better. We need some help. All right, I know that some of you can't come, and I know you would if you could. I know that for truth. I know that you would if you could. Some of you can't. But whatever you can do, do it. And one thing that you can do, and that's pray. You can pray and ask God to help us. You can do that.